You know, guys, we are going through the letter to the Galatians, and I've mentioned before that this is a very unusual letter of the letters that Paul wrote. It's actually a pretty, besides Romans, it's an interesting letter in that Paul lays out his whole concept of salvation for us here. But the purpose of this letter is because, it's one of the earlier letters, is he started churches in the Galatian area, as he did. He left there, went to other areas, and a few months later, after he's gone, he's getting reports that the people that he started the church among, people that he had led to Christ, people who were growing in the Lord while he was there, had allowed themselves to be deceived, had allowed themselves to be skewed in their thinking about what salvation is, and especially in this whole concept of being accepted by God. Someone had come alongside of them and told them that in order, yeah, you have Jesus for salvation, but you also need to do all these other things to be accepted with God. And in particular, in that situation, was that they would be circumcised if they were male, that they would be eating the dietary laws of the Old Testament, keeping the new festival and the new moons, and all of these other things, basically keeping the law. And he comes along and calls them foolish. And he very clearly makes the point that they have been deceived from the true gospel and what God has done for them. And basically, up until this point, he's been trying to explain that to them. And we're going to see that, especially today. He's going to help you to understand. In fact, I was reflecting this morning on our message, and I realized, well, I'll tell you a little bit later what I realized. This is a powerful thing for you and I, because the fact of the matter is, most of us in our Christian lives operate in a dilemma. We say, basically, I'm going along fine, George. I come to church every Sunday. I give. I read my Bible. Yeah, but we have a dilemma that's going on in our lives. Let me explain it to you. I'll give you two thoughts here. Okay, here's the first one. We are caught in a continual cycle of defeat in our lives. Whether you realize it or not, you're caught in a continual cycle of defeat in your lives. And what I mean by that is okay, you're going along, you feel like you're there with the Lord, but then the inevitable happens. What is the inevitable? You sin. You sin. That's just inevitable. You need to understand that. Nobody here is perfect. In fact, nobody has ever lived since Adam and Eve that did not sin except one person. Jesus. And he was only able to do it because he was what? God. Okay? So here you are, you're living for the Lord, and the inevitable happens. You sin. Now, here's what usually happens when you sin. Because you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and you sin, what happens, folks? You get guilty. You have a conscience. You feel shame. You feel defeated. You struggle because how do I get over this? How do I get over this? The cycle continues on. In what way? Well, you figure out, well, I got to get back into my relationship with the Lord. I got to get back into the right place with Him. And if you were to talk to people, they will always say the same things to you. Well, you need to start coming to church more. Start reading the Word more. Reading the Bible more. Maybe get involved more. One of the most interesting things that happens for me as a pastor is occasionally people will quit coming to church. And family members will come to me who are concerned for their family members who are no longer coming to church, and they'll say to me, well, isn't there something they can do in church? Isn't there something we can get them involved more and they'll start coming more? You don't understand. That's the wrong formula. You don't get them involved to get them to come to church. They get involved because they come to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? They get involved, they serve because of a heart flowing out of love for Christ. You don't create a love for Christ by getting them involved. Do you understand? So here we are. We tell them all these things, and if they to do this, and so they do it, but the cycle continues. Because what happens? It's inevitable. You're going to what? Sin. And so you go from one defeat to another defeat. And with each defeat, and depending on the severity of the sin, comes that whole thought of what more do I need to do to get back in good graces with God? To have God show me favor again. To have God show me favor. And so we're caught in a continual cycle of defeat in our lives. And it's a dilemma. And let me just tell you that it is normal to be in this cycle. I am not describing something here that is abnormal. How do I know that? And this is one of the things I was reflecting on this morning. I was reflecting on some of the heroes of the faith that I hold high in my mind and in my life through the years. One of them was Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. Hudson Taylor very clearly expresses that before a certain point, even as he was living for the Lord and even as he had even started the China Inland Mission, he was in this cycle. And it was very, very defeating for him. Very defeating for him. So here's a guy who is, I mean, China is today partly because of the church in China, partly because of the ministry of Hudson Taylor several hundred years ago. If this could happen to him, you better believe it'll happen to you and I, right? You better believe it, it'll happen to you and I. We're caught in a continual cycle of defeat in our lives. Here's the second point. We feel that we have to exert effort to get back on track with the Lord. We feel we have to exert effort to get back on track. So again, what I was saying, I need to go to church more, I need to give more, I need to serve more, I need to volunteer more. I need to go to everything at the church. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to quit going here. We feel like we need to do that. And it's only natural that you and I feel that way. Why? Because it's like any other kind of relationship. So if Lori and I have a conflict going on and she's mad at me, which she typically is, there is a natural tendency for me to all of a sudden be sensitive to what her needs are, and she'll see right through it. What are you wanting? Why are you doing this? You don't normally do this. You know what I'm talking about. We're exerting effort to what? Get back on track, right? We do the same thing with the Lord. Because you're caught in that cycle of defeat, and you want to get back on track, and we all tell the people the same things. You've been told it, I've been told it, I've told it to others, you've told it to others. It's the big three. Get back to church, start reading your word, start praying. Don't we do that? Get back to church, start reading the word, start praying. Now, in and of themselves, those are good things. And I'm not saying that they're bad things, so don't do those things. Don't get me wrong here. But what I'm trying to tell you is you have developed a mindset that thinks that those good things are the way to get back into good graces with God. And what Paul's going to show you today, as he's been trying to tell you all along, they're meaningless because something else has already taken place. Something that you aren't even aware of. Oh, you're aware of it. But you haven't had that aha moment. You know what an aha moment is, right? You're sitting there and a thought occurs to you. Ah, oh. So that's why we come to these few verses we're going to look at today. We're going to look at verse 15 through 18 of chapter 3. We're going to focus on those verses today. We'll continue on with verse 19 next week. But let's look together. If you want, it'll be up on the screen. Let's look at verse 15. Paul writes, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, Yet, if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, did not annul the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. All right, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to basically break this down into two sections. We're going to look at verse 15. Verse 15 is, you might be reading it if you're using a New King James and you're like, what is he saying? Well, it's an example from life. I'll explain that in a moment. And then verses 16 through 18, we're going to see the nature of the promise. And I want you to hear me. You need to grasp the nature of the promise if you're going to break that cycle. So let me go ahead and tell you right now. You can break that cycle. Wouldn't you like to break that cycle of defeat in your life? Wouldn't that be great? Because we all live with it, right? Okay, listen, let's talk about the nature, the example from life. What do you mean the example from life? Well, if you look at verse 15, he says an interesting statement that in the New King James and King James, you'd be like, what in the world is he talking about here? Well, let me explain it to you because the NIV actually brings it out better. He says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Okay, the NIV will say, here's an example from life. So Paul, so that you understand what we're talking about here with relationship to your salvation, your acceptance with God. Okay, that's what we're talking about here, folks. We're talking about the salvation that he's given to you and I. We're talking about the acceptance that we have with God. He's going to use, so this is the first point I want you to see here. You only need to look at everyday life to understand. That's what he's saying here. You only need to look at everyday life to understand what I'm going to be saying to you here. Only need to look at everyday life. And in particular, what he's going to talk about here is something that you and I understand all the time. It's called a contract. Does anybody understand what a contract is? So, for instance, how many of you have a smartphone? Raise your hand. Don't raise the phone, but raise your hand. You have a smartphone. Okay. Now, when you went and got that smartphone, if you called Verizon or Cricket or Straight Talk or AT&T or Blues Cruise, I don't know. I was in Altoona the other day, and I was amazed at all of the different mobile phone shops. I didn't know there were that many. But if you got a phone with them, they have you, isn't it interesting, they all have you sign what? A contract for what? 2 years, right? So we understand contracts, right? Everything's with regards to a contract, right? So we only need to look at life because we understand contracts. Here's what he's saying. So here's my second point I want you to see. He says this, verse 15. Though it's only a man's covenant, so he's talking about a contract, yet if it is confirmed, another word would be sealed, no one annuls or adds to it. So nobody can add to your contract, right? Well, you know, I got the right lawyer, George. Okay, forget that you got the right lawyer. But in the midst of most life, you can't really add to a contract, right? Or change it. That's the point he's making here. Once a contract is sealed, you can't change it. Does everybody understand that? Everybody agree with that? What does that have to do with our salvation? What does that have to do with my acceptance with God? Well, Paul's going to tell you that it has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with it, and that's what he's going to talk about right now. He's going to talk about verses 16 through 18, the nature of the promises that were given. And this is very important for you and I to understand if we're going to get over this cycle of defeat that we find ourselves in. So let's take a look at what he says. Look with me at first of all, verse 16. Look at what he says. Now to Abraham and his seed were promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So here's the first thing. The promises were made to Abraham and his seed, Jesus. You know what, if you and I were to, if we didn't know what he just said in this passage, typically if we went to Genesis and we see that God made this promise to Abraham and to his